Let's get it. All football, all the time. You're listening to The Best Football Show, hosted by Brian Baldinger.
This is The Best Football Show. I'm Brian Baldinger. Happy to be here on this Wednesday, late November right now, coming in on Thanksgiving. You can find me and all the work that I do at the NFL Network and Compass Media and Fox Sports and all that. You find me at Baldy NFL on all the social media platforms. And then you can download this Odyssey app, and you can watch this on a daily basis. We'd love for you to join us, follow us, like us, subscribe to us as we try to grow this podcast that I come to every day. I'm on the third floor at NFL Films. Been doing a bunch of film work all morning long, wrapping up week 11 as we start looking ahead to week 12. It's hard to believe, but that's where we're at, though, right now. And I want to start with the Miami Dolphins. Obviously, they've won two in a row. And, you know, they're 4-6, and, you know, they're not in great shape or anything, but Tua makes a difference. Tua, I mean, look, you try to win games with what they had. Like, they weren't competitive. But Tua right now, the way he gets rid of the football, I put a video together last night of Tua just literally, forget about three-step drops. It's like one step, and he's throwing it. And it's not because he's just locking in on a receiver and throwing to a receiver. I mean, there's certain plays that are there to be made just by the design of what they're doing. And when he knows that, the ball's out. I mean, if you had no offensive lineup and you just rushed him, he'd still get rid of the ball before he could get there. So he's getting the ball out. He's, you know, they put up 27 points against Buffalo a couple weeks ago, and they lost 30-27. He missed three passes that day. Like, his throws right now are unbelievable. The throw to Jonnu Smith for a touchdown. I mean, he didn't have the ball in his hands for 2 seconds, and the ball was out, and it was perfectly laced. Devon Achane is running really, really well. Obviously, they had the injury with Austin Jackson at right tackle, but Kendall Lamb played well last week. But defensively right now, there's some really good interior defenses in this business. The Denver Broncos come to mind with what they have at Malcolm Roach and Zach Allen and John Franklin Myers. But when you look at the Miami Dolphins right now with Calais Campbell, Zach Sealer, and Benito Jones, you're not going to find a whole lot better than that trio right now. They're playing great. And so, you know, the Raiders, two running backs, they ran for 30 yards, their two running backs. Like, now look, I mean, the secondary is together. I think they're playing great. Like, Chop Robinson is coming on. Look, they play the Miami Dolphins play the New England Patriots next Thursday, right? Next Thursday they play. Or is it this Sunday? I guess this Sunday. They play the Patriots at home. I mean, they're going to be favored to win the Patriots, win the third straight. And who knows? Who knows if they start putting the streak together? Way Tua is playing. They're going to put up points. They're going to move the football. The ball comes out quick. It comes out hot. So they're going to give teams problems offensively and defensively right now. I'm looking at the Saints. The Saints started off 2-0 and hot, scoring more points than anybody the first 2 weeks. Their offensive line falls apart. Eric McCoy, Cesar Ruiz, the receivers all fall apart. They lose 7 in a row. They fire Dennis Allen. They named Darren Rizzi the interim head coach. They've won 2 in a row. And they played very well last week, very well, against the Cleveland Browns. It was a tight game, 14-14, late into the third quarter. A couple things, though. One, they have an attacking mentality. You know, they picked up Marquez Valdez-Scantling, and he's taken over for Olave and Rashid Shaheed, and he's making some big plays. So they're attacking, and he's had three huge plays and three touchdown catches in the last 2 weeks. So they've gotten that vertical thing. But they just said, okay, look, let's put the ball in our best player's hands. And so here comes Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill was awesome, whether he was throwing the ball, catching the ball, or running the ball on Sunday. Had the three touchdowns. The offense changed. And they got, you know, they got McCoy back at center. Fuaga played great against, absolutely great, against the reigning defensive player of the year, Myles Garrett. They look like a good football team right now. They've changed. Rizzi has really stepped in. Kind of, you see his fingerprints with toughness, how they're tackling, how they're challenging. You know, look, I mean, Jameis Winston came in there and it was bombs away. And so I thought, you know, outside of maybe two plays, they played well in the back end. So they traded away, you know, obviously Marshawn Lattimore a couple weeks ago, but, you know, they drafted Kool-Aid McKinstry. He played good. Elante Taylor challenged. He was good. But I think the big difference right now is the way they're using Taysom Hill and the way they're attacking down the field, especially to MVS. And that's made a difference. Let's look at Seattle. Last week, they kept the 49ers 17 points. Defensively, they've made a lot of changes. You know, they've changed the start to season. They had Terrell Dodson, who's not even on the roster anymore, and Jerome Baker playing linebacker. Now they've got Ernest Jones, who did they trade for Ernest Jones from the Rams, or do they just pick him up? I think they traded for him. And they're playing the rookie, Tyrese Knight. Tyrese Knight started last Sunday, played great. Played great in the run game, played great in the passing game, defended some passes, rushed the passer. I thought they've got good linebacking play. And then if you add that to the way that Devin Witherspoon is playing, which is he's everywhere. He's rushing the passer. He's blitzing. He's playing good pass defense. He's tackling like an animal out there. Seattle, look, they got the, you know, they got the receivers all back down the stretch. Both Geno Smith, who obviously ran for the winning touchdown to win 2017 in the final seconds, they went 80 yards in 80 seconds against the 49ers. Now, the Niners were without, you know, Nick Bosa. He was out the whole fourth quarter, probably much of the third quarter too. That makes a difference. But regardless, it doesn't matter. They went 80 yards in 80 seconds to win that game. I thought they played well up front. Geno made good decisions. And Jackson Smith and Jigba, I mean, DK Metcalf is DK Metcalf, all right? But Jackson Smith and Jigba can win in the middle field. He can win the slot. He made a difference. And getting both Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet back both there together seemed to make a difference. They made some changes in the offensive line at center. And so, all right, Seattle gets to 5-5. Let's talk about the Raiders right now, because there's not that much to really, like, they're two and eight. The one win, one big win was in Baltimore this year, where they got the ball to Bowers and they got the ball to Devontae Adams. And the two of them had something like 19 catches, some crazy number. And they attacked a bad secondary of the Ravens and they won that game on the road. They've lost a bunch now. But honestly, Brock Bowers is, he's second in the league to Ja'Marr Chase in catches. He's got 70 catches in 10 games. He's outstanding. Like, he's just a great player. He's for whatever reason, I can't put my finger on it completely, he's always open, and he's easy to find, and he is lightning fast after the catch. Like, he explodes when he catches the ball, whether he's got to adjust to the ball or whether he catches it in stride. Once the ball is in his hands, he explodes. And he runs through tackles. Like, he is an impressive player. Really impressive. I mean, that's the, you know, if there's one thing that you could say about this Raiders team is, look, they play hard. You know, they, you know, last week they were, it was a 17-12 game, you know, into the fourth quarter, you know, against Miami. It was 17-12, fourth quarter. Bowers kept him in the game. It wasn't like Minshew was terrible. They couldn't run the ball at all against Miami. And it was a big problem. And so, you know, you're trying to throw it in all these situations. And really, Jacoby Myers and Brock Bowers is the passing game. It's just not enough right now. But until they get the quarterback situation figured out and until they get their offensive line fixed, it wasn't good enough. Jordan Meredith isn't good enough. Jackson Powers Johnson struggled. I mean, look, he's center of the future. They drafted him to be the center. You know, Glaze wasn't good enough off the edge. Until they fix the offensive line and get the quarterback situation straightened out, they're going to struggle. General managers, coaches, coordinators, they're all going to come and go. Because we're seeing it with the Jets. We're seeing it with the Giants. You're seeing it with teams that can't get that position figured out. It's just a constant turmoil. We saw it in Detroit. Until they got Jared Goff there. And little did anybody know, Jared Goff was going to be the player that he was. But they built the team around him really good, and he's an excellent player. He's an MVP candidate this year. So, you know, if you look at the Raiders, they play Denver this week. They're going to go see Bo Nix. He was the player of the week, not the rookie of the week. He was the player of the week last week, all right, in his performance. So the Raiders are going to look at a team that's got stability at quarterback and a quarterback that's improving. And Bo Nix was picked right behind the Raiders picking Brock Bowers. And they got him with Sean Payton. And they got a good offensive line. And the defense, Vance Joseph, is putting it together. And now the Broncos are in a push to go to the playoffs. Okay, let's just advance to Thursday night's game. Because in some ways, you know, Pittsburgh going to Cleveland after they win a monster game against the Ravens, this is where a lot of analysts say this is a trap game. Well, I don't believe that. I believe good teams are good teams, and well-coached teams get ready to play, whether it's on 4 days rest. Cleveland is 100 miles away, I think, maybe a little bit more, whatever. I mean, it's a bus ride. I don't believe Pittsburgh is going to overlook Cleveland. They're right in the middle of the AFC North division games. In fact, they started last week, you know, with that win against Pittsburgh. And then, you know, they go on this stretch right now where they play all these division games, Cleveland, Cincinnati, whatever. But I will say this, watching Jameis Winston throw for almost 400 yards against the Saints last week, I counted 12 deep shots last week, 12. The ball's going down the field. Jerry Jeudy caught a big touchdown pass. They got three big plays out of the 12. A lot of incompletions, you know, an interception. But if I'm Pittsburgh, I'm Minkah Fitzpatrick, if I'm Joey Porter Jr., if I'm Dante Jackson, if I'm the back end of this Pittsburgh Beanie Bishop, if I'm the back end of the Steelers defense, I'm like, okay, if there's one way Cleveland can probably stay with us right now is if they connect on some of these deep shots. And so I might play the guys off thinking, okay, let my front, let TJ and Herbig and Hayward and Preston Smith, let this front go to work on what I think is a little broken. Duan Jones out for the year at left tackle. Let these guys go to work on some of these guys up front because Jameis needs time to throw that deep ball. But that's just the one thing I would say game plan wise. Like I got to be ready. You know, I got to be ready for what Cleveland might do. They might say, okay, let's live and die by the sword. Let's live and die by the deep shots. And they got a couple of them last week against the Saints and they stayed in the game. The other player for Cleveland that was outstanding last week and gave him a chance was Denzel Ward. He made an unbelievable interception down the field for a deep shot from Derek Carr to MVS, and he played cover three perfectly. Just a replacement where nothing was in his zone. He just kept coming to the middle of the field, picked that off. And then as the Saints were going in to score, he punched the ball out and recovered a fumble and saved points. He got the ball back to the offense. And he defended another pass deep down the field. Denzel Ward had two takeaways, defended a deep pass. He helped that team out. The guy that's got to show up, honestly, on Thursday night is Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett, look, he played 75% of the snaps. He didn't have a tackle. Wasn't in the stat sheet. Now, look, I'll say this. The Saints did an unbelievable job of game planning him. Taliesa Fuaga, the rookie, did a good job one-on-one, but they bootlegged away from him. They ran away from him. They did sweeps. They really negated his strength. They got the ball out quick in the screen game, but Myles Garrett has to impact the game much better than he did on Sunday in New Orleans. So that's what I've gleaned from this film study all day yesterday and this morning. I'll have a whole lot more on Friday as I break down the Thursday night matchup, AFC North matchup between Pittsburgh and Cleveland. And maybe Pittsburgh just continues to roll. Maybe their fifth straight. Maybe takes a real firm grip on the AFC North. You know, and maybe play for the number one seed coming down the stretch in the AFC. A lot to play for Pittsburgh on Thursday night in Cleveland. And referring to the Cleveland Browns, If you're the dog pound, maybe this is your playoff game. Steelers coming to town. Big dogs in the AFC North. Got a chance to knock them off. I'm going to be here Friday morning breaking it down. I can't wait to tell you about it as we break that game down and advance some of the big matchups, like the Eagles going out to play the Rams in week 12 this coming year. Thanks for joining me, everybody. This has been the Best Football Show.